You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You're listening to the Joe Rogan Experience Review.
What a bizarre thing we've created.
Now with your hosts, Adam Thorne and Mark Hampton.
This might either be the worst podcast or the best one of all time.
Hello, guys, and welcome to another episode of the JRE Review. I've been away for a while. Did a month, I think, out, but we are back, and we've got some good announcements and some great episodes to talk about. Joined today by my buddy Ash. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing great, mate. How are you today?
Good, good. Full English cast today. So this is a first for the JRE Review. It's going to be interesting. First announcement, obviously, Joe, old news now, but sold to Spotify for what I've heard is $100 million. $100 million. Can you believe that shit, Ash?
Yeah, that's an insane amount of money. Apparently, the Spotify stocks went through the roof as soon as that announcement came out, so they won instantly, I think.
Yeah, I think it's definitely going to pay for itself in no time. Also, this week, Joe celebrated his 18-year anniversary of being an announcement for the UFC. And honestly, I couldn't even imagine the UFC without Rogan. You know, we get to see it because he doesn't do all the fights now, but when he does, it's always special.
Joe's great. Part in that. Whenever I watch a fight and he's not commentating, I'm kind of bummed. I almost feel like turning it off, you know?
He does play a big part.
Yeah,
if you think of any other sport, it's not really like that, where a commentator makes such a big difference. But at least early on, you know, I was watching this back in 2005, and it was before I did any jiu-jitsu. I didn't know what a lot of the moves were. I didn't really know what was happening at any point. And the way he would break it down, almost educate you as he goes, he doesn't need to do that quite as much these days, but he played such a pinnacle part of making that sport even make sense to a lot of people, I think.
Oh, I agree 100%. I think what Joe does really well, what you said, is he explains very technical moves and he slows it down and breaks it down so like you can understand it very simply. You know, it's like, oh, this guy needs to just put his hand on his wrist and crank it that way.
Yeah, and before you know what like a Kimura is or Americana, you're like, what the fuck are they doing?
Yeah.
I have no idea what's happening.
You're like, oh, he's doing exactly what Joe just told him to do.
Right. It's almost like they should just stand next to his commentary booth and just be like, wait till Joe says it and then we'll figure out what's next.
Well, that was a big thing in the fights lately, because if there's no crowd, there's no noise, fighters were hearing the commentators, like they could hear DC when they were fighting, so they were actually using DC's commentary as coaching.
No shit. Yeah, that's pretty interesting.
So they got free coaching from like legit badass UFC fighter.
Yeah, like mid fight. That's pretty cool.
I think.
I wonder how that changed the fight. I wonder if it actually gave anybody an advantage or not.
I think it did. I can't remember the guy's name. It's two heavyweights, but he was like, I heard after when he did the post fight interview, he's like, yeah, I heard DC, and then I realized I had to switch up what I was doing.
That's great. Yep, you got to listen to DC. He knows his shit. All right, the first episode of the week that we're going to cover, 1492, Jocko Willink. It's great to be back and do a Jocko one. He's such a bad motherfucker. I know, Ash, you're a big fan.
Oh, yeah, get some.
Get some. I mean, the good video alone is enough. If nobody's heard of Jocko and you like to push yourself and do awesome shit, you know, or you're just trying to get through a difficult time, man, that good video is next to none. It's probably the most motivational thing I've ever seen, and it's like 3 minutes long.
Oh, 100%. I think what's so good about it is there's so many different contexts inside that video that it could apply to so many people.
Oh, yeah. And every situation almost.
Yeah. So you just got to watch. We won't do it justice talking about it, will we? So you just got to watch it.
Good. 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 All right. Well, they started off, you know, it got deep in parts. It was kind of, it was heavy towards like what was happening at the moment, the current climate, the, you know, the Black Lives Matter stuff, the protests, the riots, police response. I mean, there was a lot to cover in this one. And Jocko, with his background in leadership training as a Navy SEAL team commander, and you know, also his jiu-jitsu skill. I mean, I really appreciated his input on this, and I feel like, you know, even with Joe's background with martial arts, I mean, it spoke a lot. You know, it wasn't like just two dummies talking about their opinions. Like, there was a lot of weight in this. And, you know, when they started with the cops don't often seem to get enough training. You know, there's not the resources for it. And, you know, they were talking, Jocko said that before they go and deploy, he does like so many months of training, like intense training before a big deployment. Yet these cops get a couple of classes. You know, I just wanted to hear, like, what was your take on that?
Yeah, it's a heavy subject for sure. Joe even commented on a couple of podcasts, like, you know, it's been really heavy lately. So I think one of the things Jocko was talking about, obviously, was in regards to the training. What he didn't actually mention, which I kind of looked up, was that, you know, the Navy SEALs are one of the biggest funded special forces unit in the world. So they have a kind of unlimited budget. You know, they get the highest caliber equipment and training going. And then, unfortunately, there's a lot of police departments out there whose funding isn't particularly great, and they just don't have the resources to do the training that Jocko's talking about, you know?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, it would be fantastic if they could do one day a week where it's just scenario-based training. But I think in reality, some of these smaller departments are really struggling.
So, what do you think a fix could be then? I mean, they mentioned the one thing I really liked was that they talked about every cop should be a purple belt. And I remember you talking about that with me just on the phone while we were discussing it. It's like, well, that's a lot of work, you know, but it's every one of them could do it. Do you think that could ever be like a mandatory requirement?
I don't think it will, unfortunately. Like, I do agree that you should be at least a purple belt to be in that kind of job. It's just the logistics for me. I mean, you know how long it takes for people to get to purple. You're looking at a good, on average, what do you think, like 4 years of training to get to a purple belt?
Yeah, at best.
Yeah, so then all, you know, if a cop's like, right, I want to be, if someone's like, I want to be a cop, and I'm 21 and I can be a cop now, it's like, are they going to wait 4 years while they get their jiu-jitsu purple belt before they can be a cop, or do they just start? So
maybe you could be training, though, you know, like maybe the force could pay for your membership.
Yeah.
And I'm sure if you talk to schools, they could set up like a discount for law enforcement, you know, so you could probably get $100 a month if that's paid for by the department.
Yeah.
And then, you know, let's say you're in academy, but then you've just started jiu-jitsu. So as long as you're in it, and then it's like, you know, they do give you a period of time. Like, yeah, you have your 4 years. I mean, I think real quick, 6 months of training, you know, three times a week on top of your job. If you're taking it seriously and seeing it as your job, there could be like certain stage point certificates for like completion. I mean, even after 6 months of training, you're not going to fucking kneel on somebody's head for 8 minutes. Like, you would know better that quickly.
Oh,
even if your jiu-jitsu wasn't that sharp.
100%. I think anyone who's after like 3 months of being a white belt, I would fancy them more against someone who doesn't know any jiu-jitsu, you know?
Yeah. I liked it. I liked that idea. I thought it was smart, and I don't know, I'd feel safer.
I mean Jocko
would never fuck with any cops.
Yeah, Jocko's a big, huge advocate for jiu-jitsu in schools and, you know, for kids doing jiu-jitsu at a young age. So imagine if everyone did jiu-jitsu So everyone has that like base for it, and then you could
nobody would fight ever.
Well, because
nobody
you
would be getting in fights.
You know, it's like, you know, we both train jiu-jitsu. The more you train, the less you would want to actually have to use it, you know. And then you do develop an incredible temperament while some guy is sat crushing you. You know, like you get in really bad spots. Well, I do. You get in these really bad positions, you know, and you're under a lot of stress. Someone's body weight's on you. You're tired. You know, there's 3 minutes left in a round, but yet you can still maintain your composure, you know.
And let's
not get confused on the issue. Like being, and Jocko says this as well, being a police officer is probably the most difficult job in this country, especially right now. There's so many variables. I think the one thing, obviously, with jiu-jitsu and being a cop on the street is that you have to be aware of your weapon and not let anyone take your weapon. So that kind of changes the dynamic as well. But in terms of...
Sure, but, you know, by doing this, if this was, like, nationally mandatory in a sense, they could make a modified version, you know, where you are... like paying attention to this.
Yeah, one of the guys, one of my professors actually teaches to law enforcement around the state. It's a blend of, it's kind of like a martial arts, it's a kind of like a law enforcement jiu-jitsu. So it's about, you know, maintaining space, keeping your weapon safe, and then how you safely detain someone and, you know, make the arrest safely with no one, because no one wants to go out there and hurt people. You know, there's probably some people that do, unfortunately, and that's the reality of it. But, you know, the cops that I know want to go out there and, you know, do their job to the best of their ability and go home. You know, everyone goes home safe. You know, that's why they do the job.
Yeah.
But I think if jiu-jitsu, everyone did jiu-jitsu and at least respected jiu-jitsu, I think it would definitely make a big impact for sure.
What did you think about when they said there could be like a public class that kind of shows you how to get arrested? I thought it was quite funny in a way, but like kind of interesting, like what to expect.
Well, it's
like, it's almost like you run through a little scenario where a cop like actually arrests you.
Yeah.
And this is what you should know and how to move. I kind of feel like that's a fucking good idea.
I think it's a great idea because at the end of the day, like you don't know what you don't know, right? And the police officer's job, one of their jobs is to know the law. And unfortunately, a lot of general public don't actually know the law or are aware of the law, or they think they know the law, right? So they get their camera out and they're filming it and you're like, you can't do shit. And they're like, actually, I can. You know,
yeah,
what I'm saying?
Just,
so people,
you know, whether the person's allowed to do that or not, and they probably are allowed to just film it and, you know, express their own rights. It's like, well... You know, the cop still has to be safe.
Yeah.
He's still trying to keep the person he's talking to safe. And at the end of the day, he's trying to figure out what's going on with whatever the police stop is. So he needs some assistance.
100%. I think it'd be a great idea. So, hey, if this happens to you, here are the top three things that people get pulled over for. Here is how to behave when you get pulled over. Or here is how to behave when you get stopped in the street. And it's like here's the top three things you should do or what you should say. And, you know, in some cases it might be like, here's what you should not say, you know?
Right. Yeah. I think it would be a smart move. And then of course they get back to like, how the fuck do we move forward with this country?
Yeah.
You know, they're talking about the election coming up. So we got Trump, we got Biden. I mean, all right. If you're not a Trump guy, then sorry, but you got Biden, who does seem like he's really not making a lot of sense, at least with his speaking. He has a bit of an issue, so he's going to struggle against Trump.
Yeah.
Who
Trump's a machine,
doesn't
man,
seem
isn't
phased.
He?
Yeah, he doesn't seem phased by this job.
Yeah.
He's not aged a day. And, you know, it's like, who could run? And I loved it when Jocko was like, The Rock. The fucking Rock should run.
When he said that, I was like, president. This is the best fucking thing I've ever heard.
Just it's so good, right?
Yeah, just The Rock run as an independent party. He would 100%.
What is he? How many followers does he have on Instagram? Like 150 million or some shit.
Yeah, I think he's top five. I think Cristiano Ronaldo, the football player, is top. I think like 165. But The Rock's right up there. If he's like, "Hey, I'm running for president," he would get it. I got no doubt in my mind.
Dude, he wouldn't even need to have campaigns on TV.
No, he could just do it
all on Instagram.
Yeah, just do a fucking funny Instagram post with Kevin Hart.
Yeah,
and then everyone would just laugh and be like, "I'll vote for you." He's just got that.
They'd be like,
he's just a people's person. He's super humble. He's very much like Jocko in a sense. Even Joe, like, you don't really know what side of the political fence they sit, and they do a very good job of articulating their opinions without really going either way. Does that make sense? Like, I feel like these days it's so extreme left or right, and it's like, "Fuck you, you're a Democrat," and it's like, "I hate you." And people don't even want to listen to what the other person is saying anymore. There's no conversation, right? Whereas these guys seem to articulate their point without really offending anyone and going too extreme either way, which is a real skill, especially in this day and age, you know, the way everything is right now, for sure.
Well, they suggested him running as an independent, which I thought was cool, because that would really open up the party system. And I mean, once you get three parties, like, we're from England, so we have multiple parties. You know, I don't know what they consider England, but I guess it's mainly three party, right? We got the Liberals, the Lib Dem, or the Labour Party, the Lib Dem, Conservatives.
Yep.
I guess what, the Green Party is
something
there,
like that. Is like one guy, right?
Yeah, one dude. But you know, I mean, it's multiple. There's more of a choice. Here it's just red or blue. That's it. And if you're not on that, you can't be anything. So an independent party being established and really being able to push forward. I mean, it would be interesting if they made some sort of party in the middle. It may be the first time we've ever had a chance in the US to kind of bring these things together. I mean, you know, and we're invested here. We're both citizens. You know, I've lived here a very long time, and you recently got your citizenship. So, you know, I mean, we're more invested here than we are back home. I don't follow a lot of the shit back home. So I'm very invested in seeing a system work here that's just, I don't know, better than it is.
100%. I would love to see. I mean, there's people really, really struggling out there, you know, and a lot of these things people are protesting and is really happening. You know, you can't bury your head in the sand and ignore it. And what I find really interesting as well is how small England is. Like, I think many Americans haven't been to England, so they don't understand how small it is. Like, England fits inside California multiple times, the state.
Yeah.
And yet there's...
It fits in Texas five times.
Yeah, so there's four or five parties that you could potentially vote for to run your country in England. But over here, in one of the biggest countries in the world, there's two. You've got two options. So like you said, when you've got your two options are who they are right now, you're like screwed either way, to be honest.
I know. It's something, especially when they don't have leadership that you can really follow in as well. That's a little bit, I don't know, it's just a bit disconcerting.
Well, I think the Rock touched on this, and then Jocko did. The lack of leadership in the country, that no one's really steering the ship right now, you know? And I don't mean terms of that. I just mean like just standing up and be like, "Hey, this is what's going on. This is what we're going to do," and kind of acknowledge both sides and be like, "Okay, this is definitely a problem, and we need to." I don't know what the answer is. I really don't. But like, you have to acknowledge the people. People are angry. People are hurt. You know, you've got to acknowledge that for sure.
Well, for sure. I mean, it. It's like, it's the COVID stuff that they were talking about. I mean, it seems like COVID wasn't as bad as we thought it would be. We took massive precautions from it. You know, kids aren't in school, people haven't been working. But, you know, now things are kind of showing up. People are showing antibodies. They didn't really get all that sick. And it did lead to, in a sense, the riots in some way, because it wasn't just the George Floyd thing. I mean, that was disgusting, but it seemed like that was a catalyst. You know, that was like everyone was already stressed, already frustrated. We're not getting the information that we need. you know, it's everyone's back and forth on wear a mask, don't wear a mask, wash your hands, don't do this, don't go there, don't go out. And we're like, what the fuck? And, you know, as soon as this happened, you know, that poor guy got killed, murdered, really.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, it just, people lost it. They lost, and they got really frustrated, and then it just, it went bananas. And yeah, a lot of that does seem to have come from just, you know, the lack of leadership on all the sides, from everybody. It wasn't like anybody had a better answer. You know,
no, it's everyone's really just pushing their own agenda instead of really helping the people and, you know, most importantly, moving the country forward. You know, now you've got the EU who are banning travel from America. Like, they're like, you can't fly into the EU from the United States, which is absolutely unheard of. If it's always been the other way.
Yeah.
And now Europe's looking over here and go, sorry, you're not coming here.
Right.
It's crazy.
I mean, there's a lot of cases here, you know, especially in New York. I mean, things are starting to open up, though. You know, it's getting a bit more normal. They talked about people potentially going back to jiu-jitsu. I think when they recorded this, Jocko hadn't opened his gym, but I know you've opened yours. Mine is not open. What kind of precautions are you taking up there?
Oh, we've got very strict protocols in place. It's, you have to wait for the other class to finish before you can go in the building, and the mats are heavily sanitized before you have a temperature check on the way in. You can only roll with someone in your household. The classes are obviously limited. It's very, very few people in a class compared to a normal class, obviously. And you can only either roll with someone in your family or you've had contact with, or like a training dummy. So it's very different. And I think,
oh wow,
yeah, and I think it's going to be very different for everyone for a while. This is going to change the way we live our lives for a very long time, I think. So I think
that's nuts.
I think as a,
so if you don't live with someone that trains,
you just,
which I don't, you just have to roll with a dummy.
Yeah.
It's almost pointless. I wouldn't even bother going to the school.
I mean, at least you'd win it every time.
Might as
time.
Well watch YouTube videos. Do what?
At least you'd win every time.
Yeah, you wouldn't get your ass kicked quite as bad. It's going to take a long time to get the next belt if you're not rolling with a human being, though.
Yeah, for sure. It's a very unrealistic way to do it, I think. But I don't know. I don't know what, again, I don't know what the answer is. I don't know what the alternative. And I think it's like that in so many different areas of our lives, right? Like I said, it's going to change the way we live our lives for a long time. And I think as a society, we just have to accept it and just get on with it. And I think respect those people that, you know, you hear people making comments about, oh, this person's wearing a mask everywhere they go. And it's like, some people are genuinely worried about this thing, you know, and if they want to wear their mask everywhere, let them. It's no big deal.
Yeah, I don't begrudge anyone.
Yeah.
I don't wear mine just kind of like walking around, but I do try to respect people's space still.
100%.
Even though I don't know if it's... I don't know what I personally believe about it, like whether it's a big deal, like, you know, whether to walk by somebody. But I just see if you're wearing a mask, you're obviously being cautious. And I don't know what your health condition is, so I'll walk around it, you know, I'll cross the street or whatever.
Joe and Jocko, I felt like almost said that it didn't exist. Without really saying it.
They kind of did do that. Yeah, which, you know, if that is the case, then that's the case. But they can't be sure. And I don't know if it's wise to really throw that out when there are people that still could get sick.
Yeah, Joe said Joe gets, like, tested daily.
That's intense.
He was just like, Jocko sat down and he's like, all right, we're going to do a COVID test on you today. And then he just made whoever it was just order the test, get the doctor in and test Jocko.
Yeah.
I'm like, you must have some kind of titanium testing kit to test Jocko.
Special needles to puncture his rhino skin.
Yeah, 100%.
Joe did talk about leaving LA. And he has been doing that for a while.
Yes.
And he's been kind of like... you know, catastrophizing in a sense, like just waiting for the big catastrophe. He's always talking about the Caldera or, you know, the big, like, massive super volcano or just all the types of shit that can go down. But he really pointed to something important. He was like, you know, LA is not ready for a catastrophe anything. To happen. You know, it just, you could see it with the riots. I mean, a lot of cities did. I mean, the police force wasn't ready for any of that. And on top of that, it's like getting sick. You know, if this actually was as bad as they thought and food did run out, like, you don't want to be in LA, I wouldn't imagine.
Oh, it'd be a nightmare, wouldn't it? Just, you know, we've never had it so good as a society, right? The majority of us, you know, I'm not saying everyone, because there are people that don't, and there are people that are genuinely struggling. But as a society in general, we've never had it so good. We have this instant gratification where I thought I can order something on Amazon and it's like at my door in 5 minutes, you know, and that's everything, my groceries, whatever. So when the shit hits the fan, we just don't know what to do. We don't know how to stick together. We don't know how to work together. People just lose their minds because we're not tested at any, people aren't tested in their lives anymore. Yeah. So when big shit like this happens, there's a really good book called Tribe by Sebastian Junger, and he talks about that. You know, how people survived in the when London was being bombed in the war, and how the communities came together. Like, it's frightening because, like you said, if something really, like, you know, Joe says, if something really did happen here, like, I do not have a lot of faith in humanity.
Yeah, we're not ready to like come together well. I mean, you saw this by just people buying all the fucking toilet paper and paper towels.
Yeah, people don't give a fuck about anyone else.
No.
I don't understand that. Like, why? Like, of all the shit, I'd be like, let me get some red wine, some whiskey, some cigars. Yeah. And people are just buying. People are fighting. Like, women are fighting over toilet roll.
Yeah, and pasta. This woman got really pissed off because she couldn't buy, like, 14 fucking packets of pasta. And what amazed me, honestly, is I thought, right, stress is hit, everything's getting scary, so the liquor section is going to be empty. That was not true. I mean, it does make more sense. People should go for cans of tomatoes and pasta, like rice.
Yeah.
Like, that's what keeps you alive. But, I mean, I almost couldn't believe that, like, all toilet paper's gone, all paper towels are gone, and all the liquor is still there. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, people need to get their priorities sorted.
Yeah, right. Should be margarita time. We don't have to work for like 4 months, so have a drink, relax, the bars are closed.
It's the panic thing, isn't it? Like, you know, and Joe and Jocko talk about it, like, social media rules the world now. And as soon as one person says on their Facebook or their Instagram, oh, you need to buy toilet roll, you know, the front door slams, the car tires are screeching, like, everyone's getting to the store because they're like, shit, we need toilet paper. And they're like, why? And they're like, I don't know, but I need loads, you know. And then that's it. They're just,
yeah, it's exactly that. I mean, well, look, we're learning a lot about how people behave and what happens, and you know, and this was kind of a trial run because this wasn't a massive you know, global sickness. I mean, it wasn't like millions and millions of people died, you know? It was a lot of people. It was still bad. It still needed to be shut down in ways, and it really showed some limitations in a lot of the systems, the hospitals, government response, all this. But if it was a lot worse, we would have been fucked because we do not have the systems in place to make this... to make that survivable. I mean, they're talking about 40% of small businesses are going to go under.
Yeah, it's so sad, man. So sad.
Dude. Unreal. Unreal. Towards the end of the podcast, they talk a little bit about some hunting.
Yeah.
Because Jocko started hunting. Joe's been doing it for a while. Talking about the great hunters that they're, you know, they have the privilege of hunting with. Cameron Haynes, John Dudley, all these guys. And Joe said something interesting. He said that how shooting a bow really helped his rifle shot. Excuse me. And I can agree. I mean, I've been shooting a bow since I was 17. And, you know, I do notice when I'm given a rifle, because it's so much more still and you can just focus on your breathing without all the rest of the kind of contractions of shooting, it really does improve your your rifle shot. And that's an interesting thing to think of for people that do any hunting or shooting with a rifle, that, you know, they might want to consider doing some bow work just for that stillness and control.
Yeah, that was really, that was interesting, because Joe was talking about how, you know, you have to use all the muscles in your back and squeeze your upper back and your arms, your forearms and your finger, you know, and then you're working on your breathing whilst trying to keep your eye on the target, right? And then he's like, you know, with a gun, once you've got it settled and it's comfortable, it's just that slow trigger pull. So that was,
yeah,
to, it, you know, for that to transfer into shooting a rifle is pretty cool, for sure.
Yeah, it's interesting to see how there's those parallels. Like, you think they're totally different things because the mechanisms are all different, but, you know, it's a lot of it's just being calm, being patient, and staying kind of focused with your breathing. I mean, breathing is a big part of all of it. I know snipers even try and shoot in between their heart beating or something. I once heard that. I was like, how is that even fucking possible? But they try and do it between beats. That's when they pull the trigger. How the fuck they do that, I don't know. But
yeah, I mean, those guys are on a different level, aren't they? They are the best trained people in the world. What I really liked about that, actually, you know, it's two guys talking about just proper, just like raw human hunting, providing for yourself, providing for your family. And also the second thing for me was, and they link this to jiu-jitsu, which I totally understand and I feel it as well, is that you have to be present when you do this stuff. Like in jiu-jitsu, you have to be present. You're not thinking about your mortgage, the bills you have to pay, you know, taking the kids to school, whatever it is. You know, you are present. You're like, how am I going to get out of this situation?
Yeah, because you're fucking terrified.
Exactly. And I think people are so overstimulated these days by, you know, caffeine, lights, technology, you know, where everyone's always on their cell phones. It's just constant information, stimulation. It's the whole fight or flight, right? Our adrenaline is just constantly going. And I think people have a really hard time being present in the moment. You know, me and you've discussed it recently. You know, when you go out for a beer, like, let's leave our phones here. So you engage in communication again, you know. And Joe and Jocko were talking about that, about how we've lost the ability to communicate with each other. And it's kind of like just this big vicious circle, right? We're stimulated by technology. People can't relax. People don't know how to conversate, communicate. And we just get pulled into these big vicious circles. And it's sad. It's like dehumanizing people, I think.
Yeah, if you notice people today, if they're on their own, like in a waiting room, standing in line, at a coffee shop on their own, even at a bar, just chilling on their own, which people used to do. It wasn't uncommon for like one guy to just go to a bar and chill.
Especially in England.
And you know, that's why they had TVs, right? They put TVs up so you can watch them. But in England, they don't always have TVs. Yeah. Like, it either forces you to talk or just sit there quietly. Now people don't even know what to do with themselves. Like, everyone that is like a single individual just at a place like this is 100% on their phone. You can almost guarantee it.
Well, because you almost feel like
the training of even what to do.
Yeah, you almost feel like a weirdo, don't you, if you just stood there and you're just looking around. Like, because you look around, everyone's head's down. Like, this is the thing, like, people have no idea what's going on in the world and, like, the danger that's actually out there. And, like, you know, you could link that back to law enforcement about, you know, the shit they have to deal with and what they kind of protect us from. It's like, people don't have their heads on a swivel, right? So everyone's head's down, buried in their phone, and, like, you don't know what could happen to you. So it's frightening. Like, it's just, what's the movie Shaun of the Dead, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, like, so, like, he...
Simon Pegg.
When the whole world's turned into zombies, he's walking down the street and he doesn't notice anything different because everyone's acting the same as they were before. And it's kind of like that.
Yeah. That was a great precursor to, like, that was even before smartphones existed. But now it would be even more poignant because that's exactly how it is. I mean, it's making zombies. People just stuck on it. I really like to stay as disconnected from my phone as I can. Really.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, I enjoy it. I take pride in the idea that I just don't post a lot of shit or stories, or I just, you know, unless it's for work, which I understand,
100%, yeah.
Or you're building something. But for me, it's not that. It's just like something to do. But I love just being able to leave it down or not check it or not feel like I work for my phone, but the fucking thing works for me.
Yeah, 100%. You know, and
talking about scary shit, though. What about that story of Jocko breaking John Dudley's neck? So John Dudley is a world-class archer, a great guy. He was training with Jocko. Is John Dudley a SEAL too?
I'm not 100% sure.
He's a bad motherfucker.
Yeah,
sure.
Regardless, he might as well be.
And I guess Jocko... So how did Jocko break his neck? I wasn't really following that.
So Jocko was telling the story about how he... kind of exchange services, I guess you could say. Like, he taught Jocko how to bow hunt properly and gave him a load of pointers, and then Jocko had him come into the gym, into Victory MMA, his gym in San Diego, and Jocko was kind of showing him some basics, and the family were there, Dudley's family was there, and then Jocko said, like, after, he was like, hey, do you want to go? Which, you know, in jiu-jitsu is kind of like, hey, let's roll. So Jocko was like, okay. Yeah.
That's such a bad idea.
So I think Jocko was basically on, you know, top control, and he put in an Ezekiel choke, no gi. So basically Jocko used his giant gorilla forearms to kind of to choke him out. And Jocko tells the story, and he's got his knuckles on the guy's neck, and he's not tapping. And you know, like, some people, when they're new, they don't know when to tap in jiu-jitsu. And you figure out it's experience, right? You know when to tap, or you know when you beat. And then, yeah, they felt like I think he felt like a bit of a crack, and he didn't think too much of it. And then apparently he had a scan from a doctor like months and months further down the line. And the doctor's like, you have a hairline fracture of one of your cervical vertebrae. He's like, oh, I think I know what that was from. So Joe just takes the piss out of him, saying, wow, you choked him out and you broke his neck in front of his wife.
And kid, yeah. He's like, you fucking animal. Jocko's like, no, let me explain. It wasn't like that. No, it sounds like it was, Jocko, you fucking gorilla.
Yeah, the guy's a freak. Yep.
Yeah, too strong. Too strong. I mean, he talked about competing back in the day and losing to Big Country.
Yeah.
I mean, Jocko is no joke. Big Country is badass. A heavyweight is, I mean, he was really fucking badass for a long time. He knocked out Brendan Schaub in the Ultimate Fighter.
That's right. Yeah, he did.
Fighter Final. I mean, you know, he beat Kimbo. He had some good fights. He was fucking legit. And the fact that Jocko was at a level where he could go up against him and almost won, you know, or could have, that guy is just beyond terrifying in his own right.
Well, and it
was a great pod. I always love Jocko being on there. Those two are good friends, and just hearing like those two dudes. I mean, name someone that's more of a man than Jocko Willink. I'd fuck The Rock. I don't even know.
Yeah,
probably not.
You're gonna struggle.
Just Jocko.
Maybe Chuck Norris.
He is. Chuck is definitely Chuck. He's up there. Bruce Lee. I mean, we're talking mythical characters after that for sure. Thor. Who knows? All right, next up we got Kyle Dunnigan, 1495. Kyle has one of the best Instagrams I've ever seen. He does the face swap. He has some legendary Michael Jackson videos.
Wow,
he does
yeah.
a lot of the Kardashians. Mate, he's just hilarious. If you don't follow him now and laugh your ass off, because some of the stuff he does is unbelievable. He used to be on the show Reno 911. That's where I first saw him. He was good on that.
Yeah.
And his comedy's really taken off. What I loved about this podcast, and like you were saying, Ash, a lot of them have been very serious recently, and this one was just funny. They got high as fuck and just had a laugh. You know, weed's legal in California. They weren't breaking the law. They had some whiskeys. They just had some fun and brought a bit of comedy back to the world, much needed. And yeah, I absolutely loved it. I mean, they started off so silly, like the dangers of being a lumberjack. And they're both talking like they know what that is all about.
A lumberjill.
They had no idea. Yeah, they're like, I don't even know what they do or how they do it, and but it seems dangerous. I'm like, fuck yeah, being a lumberjack's dangerous. Trees flying everywhere.
Yeah, and you want to talk about, you know, we talk about manly stuff like that. You can't, you don't get much more manly than that.
No, that job's got to be hard as hell.
Oh, I actually used to do that when I was younger.
Did you
really? Yeah, I worked with my stepdad whilst I was at university, and yeah, just going into the woods, cutting trees down. It's ridiculously hard.
Did you ever have any close calls, like almost getting squashed by a tree or whatever?
Not by a tree. There's a couple of incidences where I've been a little bit close with my foot with the chainsaw.
Oh,
yeah, because when a tree falls down and the branches kind of fold underneath, there's a lot of pressure on them, and when you're kind of taking the limbs off, sometimes they'll spring back, and when the saw's still going, it might flick the saw into your boot, you know. So you've got to be which it amazes me. Like, you just see all these guys just going down to the local hardware store and just buying chainsaws, and I'm just like, oh my good lord. Because I know how dangerous they are, you know? Like, they are in the wrong hands, like, that you could really cause some serious injury to yourself.
They just immediately chop something off, right? Like, it would be as fast as you could put your hand on it. It would just blow your finger.
Well, not necessarily. Like, because of the teeth and the way it's more of a... It's going to, like... I would say, like, fingers and a hand maybe it would. But, like, you start getting into, like, a leg, it's going to just kind of chew it. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's gonna really rip some stuff. It would be nasty. Yeah.
Do you wear like special pants or clothing that like tangles up the chain?
Yeah, if you should wear the proper gear, because once the chain goes into it, yeah, like you said, it just chews up. It just blocks the chain from rotating anymore. It's gnarly. Some people, man, they don't take the necessary precautions, I guess. And then you've just got these crazy guys who are just chopping these ginormous things down and climbing up them. They don't give a shit.
It's probably one of those, though, you just get so comfortable with it and everything's so normal. You do it 1,000 times, you don't even think twice, and then it's just that one time.
That's it.
That something gets fucked, and that's when you realize this whole time how dangerous it was. And boom. I mean, there's so many jobs like that.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, one person's sending the wrong email at work is the other person's going wrong with the chainsaw. You know, it's like, you do something thousands of times and you don't think about it, you know, and then that's why you got to be present, Ad.
That's it. That's it, buddy. Jiu-jitsu. Well, it's one of those. It's like, yeah, you can accidentally like attach everybody to an email that's private. I mean, okay, that's embarrassing.
Yeah, my boss is a prick.
The consequences, yeah, the consequences are nowhere as dire as when you're fucking, you know, using that sort of heavy machinery. Nuts. Well, so Kyle has a Tesla. I've seen it because I've seen him perform at the Comedy Store. He's driven in with it. Obviously, Joe does. Kyle couldn't stop talking about how much he fucking loves that thing and how Elon Musk is the man. I like talking about Elon. I think he's super interesting guy, brilliant innovator, and doing a lot of cool shit. I went over to the Lowe's actually near me, and there's like a parking lot for SpaceX.
Oh, that's cool.
Near the airport. I don't know what they're doing over there, but it was full of Teslas. And they got a parking lot. I'm like, fucking SpaceX, man. How badass is that shit? That dude is just unbelievable. Like, what an incredible dude.
Well, he's another guy who's talking about leaving California. He said a few weeks ago, like, it was something to do with government restrictions on production. And he said, he was basically, I'll take all of my plants to Texas or wherever it was, he said, and I'll make it there.
Oh, shit.
It's like, as California's a state, you do not want Tesla leaving.
No,
you know, like,
no. I just feel like they're gonna just. I think they're gonna come out with like a couple of other cheaper models, and people just want Teslas. They're so much better than other cars, from what I'm hearing. just so much cooler. My old roommate has the small one. What's that called? The Model 3?
Yeah,
or something?
I think you're right, yeah.
Yeah, Mark has that, and he loves it. He's just like, this thing is unbelievable. Like, it just blows his mind every time he's in it. And I just think, how fucking cool is that? And it was like 35
Yeah,
grand.
And they're just so quiet and so luxurious. It's crazy.
What else can you buy for that money that would even be close?
Nothing. Not like that.
You should get one. You get
deal,
one.
Deal.
Deal. Get rid of your
I'll
mirror.
Do it after you pay me for the podcast.
Sounds reasonable. Let's do it. Let's do it. What else did they get into?
Well, I was just going to say, like, what I really loved about that podcast was, like, it was just two guys shooting the shit and just enjoying each other's company. I think they hadn't seen each other for a long time, and it was just, it was nice to just hear two humans interact positively, have a good laugh, make kind of light of some situations, you know, and just, like, kind of relax a little. It was good. It was a good, I really enjoyed that episode.
It's important to have those episodes too, because like, you know, things do get tense. Like, the world's tense now, so there's a lot of information that needs to come forward, so they have all these serious guests trying to pass important information. But it's nice to remember that we can just take a seat and relax and get silly and have a laugh. And yeah, thank God for those ones. Just thank God, really, that Joe, on top of being a great podcaster, like, imagine if he wasn't a stand-up, right? Imagine if he just did Fear Factor, and then he was the UFC commentator, and then he had the podcast, which was good. That would be awesome. I still think the podcast would be massive.
Yeah.
But the fact that he knows all the best comedians in the country, and they're his good friends for over 20 years, just make those conversations unbelievable. You know, whether it be Bill Burr or Tom Papa, like, any of those guys, it just makes it just so much better. I loved it when they were talking about, like, working out, getting in shape, like, working out your house, whatever, and then gene manipulation, right, using CRISPR, and then making yourself look like whatever you want, like, make yourself look like the
world. Oh, that was brilliant.
Like, you know that, you know that shit's gonna
yeah,
happen.
Oh, for sure.
Like, imagine if someone said to you, right, okay, so you can take this pill, it's totally non-toxic, everything's good, you know, there's been no side effects, but you take it, and you'll basically be the size of the Rock. Like, your legs will change, your jaw, everything massive, and you won't have to work out a day in your life. Or, don't take it, and work out as much as you can, eat loads of food, you know, always be fucking tired as fuck, you know, spend hours a day getting jacked, and you'll only be as big as your genetics will allow. Everyone's taking that shit.
It's funny because, like, you're kind of asking the wrong person here, because, like, I what gets lost on a lot of people is, like, I genuinely love the process of training and staying healthy, you know, like, the days where you really don't want to do it and you just get your ass up and you go and do it and you're super fucking satisfied. I, there's no doubt in my mind that there's a bunch of people who would just take shit to look good and not have to train. But I think you're losing on a lot of physical and psychological benefits of not training, you know?
Yeah, well, for sure. I mean, there's still a lot of advantages to it.
Because Joe talks about, how much it makes him feel good, like, when he's training, and he talks about that. And I think as good as that is, and it's fantastic, like, it's like the Matrix, right? I know Kung Fu, boom, go. But there's no struggle there, right? There's no struggle to learn Kung Fu. All you've done is you've just done your Amazon one click purchase and you know Kung Fu, which
yeah.
is like what we
yeah, it probably doesn't raise your toughness.
Yeah, it's what we do with everything in our lives now, you know. So I think there is a serious lesson, or a lot of lessons in the process of getting to that point, you know. But for some people it would be nice.
Definitely. Another thing that they talked about is, like, the whole sex bot issue, you know, like, when these sex bots are gonna get hot. And, you know, Joe's like, well, they're never gonna replace a real woman, because you just don't get that struggle, you know, you don't get the back and forth, you're not gonna get the butterflies for it. But who knows, man? Who knows how hot they can make these things? I mean, by the time they make them look super fucking hot and basically act like humans, they're going to be able to program them in to be like the sexiest, sassiest things on the planet. You know, it's like your own sex bot, but it actually just denies you one night. It's like, no, I'm not feeling it.
No, you didn't do...
pissed off and goes for a walk.
You didn't do the dishes earlier.
It's like, it would almost be like advantageous in a way. Like, it would be annoying in the moment, but it's the same thing as you're talking about. It's like the struggle is what makes it worth it.
It's well, like we are...
They could program that struggle.
This all comes... Like, we are... hunters. We are evolution. We are hunters. It's how we survive. And every year we just lose a little bit more of that, right? You know, that just that raw human desire to, like, that's how we function. It's what we're made for. We're made for hunting and gathering and procreating, you know. And it's just like, now it's just all like a click of a button, and it's, unfortunately, it's ruining some people, you know. I think you have to be really cognitive of staying true to who you are. And and that's what I like about Joe. He keeps it real. He keeps it raw. You know, he hunts, does jiu-jitsu. It's cool.
Yeah, for sure. Like you said, it was just so fun. It was just like a lot of fun. There's so much silliness in this. If you guys haven't checked this one out, I couldn't recommend it enough.
It reminded me of, you know, when you watch a good movie and then they show the outtakes at the end of the movie, and you're like, fuck, why didn't they put that in? And then you're like, well, it kind of doesn't work, obviously, because it's an outtake. But if you just watch outtakes, and they're hilarious. And it was kind of like they'd done a podcast episode and then they were just hanging out after.
Yeah,
and I like that, and I think it's that raw human. Just there's no like kind of performance. It's just them. It's just raw people being honest, just being themselves. I loved it. It was great.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Well, Ash, thank you for joining me this week, and I think that we're gonna start doing this more. So it's gonna be the all English version of the JRE review.
Yeah, thanks for having me, mate. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and thanks for everyone listening. Thanks for your patience with me being away, but we're going to get more consistent with these, and just stay tuned. And peace. Have a great week, everyone. Bye.